We are going to deal with one item. Briefing from SABC on progress made in regards to ad hoc committee recommendations. That's what we're going to deal with today. But in welcoming members, I must also say that, and maybe for the benefit of everybody, we advertised for the board of SABC, and the closing date was 30th of June. Next week we'll be starting the process of shortlisting and thereafter interviews as the committee. Up to now we have, by the time the deadline of the 30th, we received 362 applications. The office of the chair is working on summarizing who has what in terms of qualifications and who meets the criteria, and then that will be presented to the committee next week when we are shortlisting. Remember, members, we said the preparations that we are making, each member will receive his or her own file that reflects everything. The names of the applicants, the qualifications, the experience, and all of that. So that as we shortlist, at least every member does have a picture of the people we have who are interested in being part of the board. I thought I must start with that so that members are aware, but also media has been trying to check as to how many people applied and all of that. And I said, I'm in a rural town of Bedford and Adelaide in the Eastern Cape doing constituency work, so I'm not privy to that. I'll be briefed when I'm back in Cape Town, and I don't want to be briefed when I'm doing constituency work. So wait until Tuesday. There you are. You have 362. And the process is as we have outlined as members before going to recess and constituency. Now I'm restating what we said as the committee. So that was by way of welcoming all of us and outlining the process that we're going to take in relation to the permanent board. I know everybody is very interested in this process that we're going to start. But also, media is always interested as to members, as to whether we are satisfied or not with what the interim board is doing. And members will agree with me that even in the last meeting we're saying they are good, doing a good job. For now, or up to now, we're satisfied on what they are doing. We don't know next week if we will be satisfied. Today they are going to brief us, and maybe we'll punch holes on what they are going to give us. So again, I think across membership of this committee, we want to reiterate that we, up to now, we are very much satisfied on how they are handling issues of SABC. So, the other question that they want, even when I was saying, I don't know where the blight, they want to know if members of interim board are a part of those who applied. I don't know until now. So we don't know where the applied wasn't until we get the file from the staff, from the interim board. We don't know where's applied. Thank you very much, members, and I'm sure we are coming from recess and constituency, and I'm sure we are rejuvenated if we are not exhausted. And my only worry is that members were not available for training that were organized. They don't want to be trained. It's disappointing indeed. I know Honorable Lozi was raising this, but I think members, let us be serious about this training. It's there, but we can't have five members. Because if we have five members ready for the training, nothing changes. Even if we are 11 plus staff, even if we are five, what we pay to those two vets is the same. So we really appeal to members to be ready for this training. I was ready for it, and I know a number of members were ready for it, but it couldn't take place. So again, we're trying to get space in September. There is some period of constituents again in September. Please consider that week so that we have this training. This is a highly technical area, communication. It's not where I come from. I'm coming from agriculture, so there we it's not technical. It's a very important area, space. We talk the land, and we talk ukulima and all of those things, so that people can eat here. It's about people must understand what's going on in South Africa. Thank you very much, members, and I must say that we are now going to hand over to SABC. Before that, I have apologies. You'll recall that there is a cabinet, Lakota, a minister, deputy minister, not able to come here because of that. Honorable Van Dijk is on sick leave. Honorable Madisha is on oversight of PC on labor. Honorable Velma Drachen is not well. The other person who is not well is the secretary of the committee. He had to drive back. He was driving to the meeting this morning, but he had to drive back home. So he's not here. Those are the apologies, members.
nominations for the SABC board. I think firstly just to say that 362, I think that's probably the highest, at least in recent history. So I think it bears testament to the work that the interim board has done thus far, that the renewed interest in the SABC board. People in the past didn't want to serve because it was a poison chalice. So it just shows that thus far you've done good work. But in terms of our work as the committee, I think you were explaining how we're going to narrow it down from 362 to shortlist. You didn't explain in detail, so I just wanted to know how we're going to deal with the 362. Are members going to get all 362 CVs? How are we going to deal with that process?
Yeah, everything will be given to members, because shortlisting will be done by the committee itself. There is no longer a small committee doing that. So you'll be given that, we'll do that as the committee. The files definitely will be with you as early as Friday, I hope, so that you can go back and look, so that when we meet on Tuesday, at least you have done your work. Thank you very much, Honorable Van Damme. Yeah, very many applicants, very many. I hope it can be like this even in the department. Remember in the department for the DG of communication, there was only one application, one. One, just one. And surely people, it's about not having interest in applying when the situation is like that. I mean, it's exactly like, I'm sure now it will be different. I mean, it's an indication, 362, maybe in the whole of the country, South Africa, there is only one person interested to apply to communications. It points to the deep-seated problems that we have. Can we now go to SABC members? Are you ready now? Thank you very much. You are. Yes, Honourable Member.
Thank you, Chair. Steve Swart. I'm not a member of the committee, but I was a member of the ad hoc committee. And I just quickly wanted to ask you, the committee might have already considered this. When you do the appointment of the board, will you be, as per the findings of the ad hoc committee, open and transparent process, possibly similar to what my committee, the Justice Committee, did when we appointed the Public Protector and the Human Rights Commission, where you invited the public to comment on nominations? I understand you've got a limited time, but has the committee discussed that process to comply with what was recommended, an open and transparent process where members of the public will be able to comment on the nominees? Remember, we had Corruption Watch and a number of other NGOs that were very helpful in commenting on people. So in view of the large number, I just wondered whether the committee had considered that process yet. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, the process will be very transparent, it will be very open, but let's wait until the committee meets next week. And then they will outline the process as to how are we going to handle it. I don't think members, we never discussed that detail. So we'll have to get into that detail when we meet next week. But thank you very much, Honorable Swart. SABC, chairman of... The chairperson is a chairman, even if he's a lady. Chairperson of interim board, over to you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for inviting us today. You will excuse my croaky voice. I've had flu for a couple of days. Before we start out, maybe for the benefit of the honourable members, and good morning to the honourable members as well, who may not have been here before or have heard from us, I'd just like to introduce the team from the SABC. Also, there are a few new faces. To my left is John Mattison, who is a member of the interim board. I think he's come to this committee a few times. And a new face on my right is Nomsa Piliso. She has been appointed the acting CEO of the SABC. Her permanent role at the SABC is that of the group executive for television. To her right is Thabile Dlamini, who is the acting CFO of the SABC. She has been in finance in the commercial services. She's a chartered accountant. To her right is Ms. Betty Tugwana, who you have met before. She's the acting COO at the SABC. And we are very proud that on this Women's Month, we have a full-bodied female leadership at the SABC. We think it's a first at the SABC. And at any state-owned entity, we believe. So we think you're going to hear great things today. I don't know if I'm supposed to introduce my colleagues from DOC, and if that's not protocol, apologies in advance. But Mr. Mbanza, you have met before. He's the financial advisor to the minister, and Usandile is also an advisor to the minister. And you're going to kill me for forgetting his name, but he's in regulatory affairs. Mamurim. And then we have the team from the SABC there, James, and he just joined us this morning, so I've also forgotten his name. Andile, then we have Ayanda, who is our parliamentary liaison here. My apologies, a combination of flu and old age. I've forgotten some of the names. James Chikwambane.
Oh.
He's the provincial general manager for the Western Cape. I'm also not good at the technical stuff. Should we wait for it to go on the screen, or have you received? Okay. Thank you.
Can you introduce yourself at the back, starting from you, Chief? You were introduced, but if we want to hear your voices.
My name is Freddy Mamuremi. I work for DOC in Entity Oversight.
This is Department of Communications. This is what we want. Maybe when the department is here, we need that man to be present. I mean, the entity oversight, he must be present in all meetings, especially when we meet entities, even the DOC itself. So the position you occupy is very important for us. So don't miss. Are you based in Pretoria or here?
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much, James Chikwambane, the Provincial General Manager, SABC Western Cape.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Andile Nokutanda. I am the Communications Manager in the province. I am here today as a mini Kaiser. I am at work.
Morning, Chair. Morning, members. My name is Ayanda Kish, responsible for parliamentary liaison.
Good morning, my name is Lynn Dorsey. I am the parliamentary liaison specialist working in the Secretary's office.
How are you? Are you ready now?
Yes, we are ready.
Very much. Go ahead.
Thank you. I learned you also have the presentation. The paper copy. But this is our report as of the 1st of August of the progress that we have been doing in implementing the recommendations of the ad hoc committee report on the SABC. And maybe just to recap that the ad hoc committee report was adopted by the National Assembly in March of 2017, and the main finding was that the board had for some time prior to its collapse failed to discharge its fiduciary duties, adhere to the board charter and carry out its duties as contemplated in section 13.1 of the Broadcasting Act. That is the board before us. There were 33 recommendations in the final report. 24 of those were on our plate for implementation, and 9 of them fall into Parliament's ambit. On the 10th of May of 2017 was our first report that we presented to this committee in terms of implementing the recommendations of the report. So this report will detail further progress made since the last report. We have come to present to this committee beyond that, but that's been on the quarterly reports as well as on digital migration. I will go through the recommendations one by one that relate to us to make it easier to follow them. And the way we have outlined it is that we have set out what the recommendation was and then what the actions are that we have taken to implement. The first one was to investigate the validity of the memorandum of incorporation that was signed in October 2014 and recommend amendments to align it to the Broadcasting Act. We have approached CIPC to check, because there were a number of MOIs that were in question as to which one was the relevant one. We have established that the last lodgement of the SABC MOI was done in 2013 via a special resolution that was passed by the then Minister of Communications, Mr. Honorable Yunus Karim. So that is the valid MOI. We have that MOI was approved by CIPC from the 14th of May 2014, and the SABC has been provided with a copy. We are in the process of reviewing that MOI to ensure that it's aligned with the Broadcasting Act. And I should probably add that there is a team that is being set up between the SABC and the Department of Communication so that we can ensure that we are aligning the MOI so that the SABC's understanding and the DOC's understanding. And also once we get into making recommendations from the Broadcasting Act, clearly the department as our executive authority will be responsible for bringing that through to Parliament. The second recommendation from the ad hoc committee referred to the company secretary who should ensure that members of the interim board were inducted within a reasonable time. Shortly after our appointment, a schedule of induction took place, so that action has been done. It was conducted over a period of 3 days between the 9th and the 11th of April 2017. Part of that induction included meeting with this committee, meeting with SCOPA, and conducting a number of visits to various departments in the SABC. I should also add that it's, the induction is ongoing because we do find new things each time. We definitely would not be able to be completely inducted over 3 days. The third recommendation referred to the board taking reasonable steps to regularize previous decisions that may pose a financial or a legal risk. This interim board has been seized with that probably on an everyday basis, as it has been key to the very existence and stability of the SABC. Some of the key decisions that we have taken to ensure that we are regularizing decisions and ensuring that we are minimizing the risk at the SABC. One of those was the ban on the broadcast of violent footage from the SABC platform, and ICASA had already flagged us for that. So we have rescinded that decision. I think at the previous meeting we spent quite some time when the minister was present talking about the rationale behind that and how we still managed to ensure that audiences are protected for what you normally call gruesome sites, but at the same time not banning reporters from reporting on incidents as they happen. We have set in motion a process, including a national consultative process, to review the editorial policy and to align it with legislation requirements. A brief background on that is that editorial policies were changed around 2013. There were complaints to ICASA. The complaints ICASA overruled the editorial policy that the SABC had implemented at that time. We have then launched a formal review process that includes public participation. And today, I believe our teams are in Limpopo and they were in Swale yesterday, hearing from the public. The process is twofold. There will be, you can send written submissions, you can drop them at SABC offices. There is an email and a website on the editorial policies, but there are also roadshows that go out to reach the people where they are, particularly those that don't have access to email and writing letters and may not even be able to express themselves in the written way. So there will be town hall types roadshow where people will be able to make an input to the editorial policies. It is envisaged that this process will run for the next month. The interim board will receive the comments and submissions from the public, make the necessary changes that are obviously deemed to be relevant, and then give back to the public the revisions before they are submitted to ICASA. In the same time, we have reviewed the 90/10 local contact directive that had been made at the SABC to align with ICASA rules. I know that this sometimes becomes a very emotional subject in the public. I won't spend too much time going into it, but I think we always want to make the statement that it should not be said that the interim board is anti-transformation, because our review was not to say we do not want local content on the screens. Actually, a number of our stations and TV had already reached ICASA's requirements in terms of local content, but the cost, which we will talk about later, are also a reality in terms of making sure that we have local content on the screens and in the radios at the SABC. So the review that has taken place is quite an intensive process that has been led by our board committee, which Mr. Matheson co-chairs with Phoebe Potgieter Kobule, has done quite an analysis on those stations that have suffered audience and revenue loss due to the implementation of the directive on 90/10 local content. And based on that, we are then satisfied as an interim board that it is a decision that needs to be reviewed, but with very specific focus on radio stations and TV stations. We have also, as the interim board, withdrawn the court application to review the public protector's report. Number four is we're tasked with establishing board subcommittees, or I should probably say re-establish board subcommittees that had no longer been functional at the SABC board. We have reported in our last report, I won't go through all of them, but the main subcommittees which are required by the Companies Act, we have revived. We have a chair and members at each one of them, and it's the five committees that you see in your reports. The next recommendation was to initiate disciplinary action against any official who made and permitted irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure as per Section 51(c)(3) of the PFMA. The board commissioned the SIU to conduct a forensic investigation into fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred in the period 1st April 2012 and 31st March 2017. The internal forensic unit has also been working, I could say parallel, but very much aligned with the SIU in terms of the commissioning that has been made to the SIU. And the internal forensic unit has commenced an investigation into irregular expenditure. And after inquiry and accepted by the board has recommended to National Treasury that 2.1 billion of that relates to tax clearance certificates specifically in the sports and television department. So we have made a recommendation to National Treasury that we consider condoning the 2.1 billion. If I make reference, you will recall that there is quite a figure of 5.1 billion that is flagged. So 2.1 of that is really on compliance and not actions of irregularity within the SABC. So that will reduce the number so that when we do report, you have a context of why it's no longer 5.1, but it's now it will only be about just a little over 3 billion that we'll be reporting on in detail. The board has also sought legal opinion on the liability of board members, group executives and officials who knowingly participated in the making of decisions or acceded to decisions being made which are contrary to the policies of the corporation, principles of corporate governance contained in the King Code of Governance, and in breach of the legislative framework governing the corporation. Later on, we will report on some other specific areas, but we have sought external legal opinion in some of those matters. The internal forensic audit completed a report on the questionable contracts that were identified by the ad hoc committee, and we have made a decision as a board to look at some of the contracts, such as Infonomics, Maud McDonald, Asante Sana, Foxtel Communications, and Lesaf Consulting. The report that the internal audit submitted has been adopted by the board and has been handed over to the SIU for further action and implementation. The board also commenced on legal action to recover monies from Mr. Mutweneng and Mr. Aguma. That is a bit of a typo that says which they received irregularly. The irregular receipt is in terms of Mr. Mutweneng, but in terms of Mr. Aguma, is in terms of decisions that he has or may have made that led to, we have no evidence that Mr. Aguma received any money irregularly, but you are aware that there is the bonus that was received by Mr. Mutweneng, which also forms part of the investigations that we are seized with. The board is also currently considering the institution of criminal charges against any of those employees who allegedly participated in criminal activity that obviously covers fraud, corruption, making irregular decisions, and all those. The sixth recommendation was to institute independent forensic investigations into questionable and irregularly awarded contracts. You would probably have read, as it's now public knowledge, that the SABC has terminated, the interim board has terminated the contract with Lona Vision and AANN7. Lona Vision was the TV licensing, TV collection, license collection, and AANN7 was the breakfast. The contract with Sekela Kwaviso, which had also been employed to look at the irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure, is on suspension. The multi-choice contract is under review on the grounds that the important aspects of it are a disadvantage to the SABC and are contrary to public interest. The remaining questionable contracts identified by the ad hoc committee have been referred to the SIU for forensic investigation. Recommendation number 7 had to do with evaluating the feasibility of entering into agreements with rival broadcasters AN7 and MultiChoice, that is commonly known as DSTV. We have just reported that we terminated the contract with the New Age on the 9th of June 2017. That was the last business breakfast show to be broadcast. I'm sure you have not seen any others since that day. And the MultiChoice contract is under review. Recommendation number 8 was to take appropriate action against current and former employees and board members who are found to have been complicit in the SABC incurring wasteful expenditure as a result of irregular activities. The interim board is seeking legal opinion on the liability of board members, officials, group executives and employees who participated in meetings where decisions were taken that are contrary to the policies of the corporation. Not only the policies of the corporation, but the codes of corporate governance, as well as the legislative framework governing the SABC. We have already hinted at the Mr. Mutsweneng bonus, as well as some of the disciplinary matters that were added to Mr. James Akuma's charge sheet. So those are continuing. Recommendation number 9 is what we are doing now, that we are supposed to submit progress reports to Parliament, and we do that ideally on a monthly basis, but sometimes calendars clash and we may skip a few weeks, but it is our commitment to report on a regular basis. Recommendation number 10 had to do with filling top executive positions with suitably qualified people. The process to recruit the GCO and COO is almost finalized. You will recall that that was a public process. It was advertised in the media. It was also advertised internally. We received a number of interested parties that were quite of a high caliber. We have now sent a copy of the contract in terms of conditions to the executive authority, the minister. We await her approval so that we can then complete the process and recommend the shortlist, the candidates to herself. Continuing on that, advertisements have also been placed for the group executive radio and chief audit executive. We have, they were also in the press, and they were also internal, an internal process. So we have received a healthy bench of CVs, and those are being scheduled, and they will take place within a matter of weeks. The FTGE of Human Resources passed on shortly after we arrived at the SABC. We have an acting executive in that role, and we are about to commence with the recruitment of the GE Human Resources, as well as the GE News, which has had an acting incumbent. The CFO has resigned, Mr. Akuma, in the past couple of weeks, so we will also commence in due course with recruiting that for that role. We have also sent those terms to the minister for her approval so that we can proceed with that, because it's quite a critical role that needs to be filled. Recommendation number 11 had to do with entering into performance agreements with employees within 60 days. The board has now contracted with the acting GCO, who was the previous one, so it's not a norm. But the important thing about performance management is that you contract with a role rather than with a person. So the process will continue irrespective of the fact that there's a different person sitting in that seat. The target date, so it is now rolling out throughout the organization. The expected completion date is the end of this month. So we have quite a heavy schedule of performance management to the level of group executives as well as senior management. Recommendation number 12 was to start the process of appointing a new company secretary. After investigation, the interim board determined that the current company secretary, Ms. Lindiwe Bai, was legitimately appointed on the 19th of August 2016. We believe that there was probably a bit of time lapse, as the company secretary at that time was Teresa Heldene. So that's what the ad hoc committee was referring to. So when this appointment of Ms. Lindiwe Bai was made on August 2016, the board was still correct. We have perused the minutes of the meeting where the appointment was approved, and we have also sent a copy to the Speaker of Parliament as that inquiry was also made. The board is satisfied that no further action is required of it in this regard. Recommendation number 13 was to ensure that all legal costs incurred as a result of the court challenge by the previous SABC chairperson in his personal capacity is recovered as per court order. This refers to Professor Magube. the SABC is unable to recover those costs because they were not paid by the SABC. They were paid by the corporate insurance division. All board members are covered by corporate insurance. So when any matter of litigation comes up, it's then taken to an insurance division. So the SABC has got this cover in terms of the Companies Act, and it covers the directors and officers. So the legal costs of the previous chairperson were paid by the insurance, not the SABC. Recommendation number 14 was to ensure that all senior management appointees are vetted by the SSA. We had to also seek legal opinion on this, as that there was a flag that maybe we may be interfering with employees' rights, but based on the legal opinion that we have received, we took the decision that all employees should be vetted. This also extends to suppliers of the SABC. The starting point is that employees in positions where they handle sensitive or classified information have to be vetted. The process is intended to be rolled out to all employees in time. It has started with a senior level, a senior management levels, but all new staff members that come into the SABC are vetted, and it has also been included in the contracts of employment and the conditions of employment that anybody who comes to the SABC should be vetted. The schedule you see in front of you is a rollout schedule for the vetting process, so you can see that the process has already started at executive level. Group executives are in the process. We would go to procurement, as they also handle sensitive information, and that process has started. It obviously is going to take quite a while to go through the 531, but by April to July of 2018, we expect that all employees at the SABC should be vetted. Recommendation number 15 refers to reviewing human resource policies to ensure compliance with legislation. An HR policy review team has been established with the purpose of reviewing all HR policies and to align them with legislative provision as well as best HR practice. Policies have been categorized into those four categories: those that need to be reviewed, those that need to be rescinded if they are not compliant, those that need to be submitted to organized labor, requiring final input, as well as those that need to be submitted to the board for approval. And I think the main reason for the first bullet point is that we don't need, we shouldn't fix what isn't broken. So we'll just put a test on those that seem like they are compliant and put it through the necessary approval processes. We project that all policies should be approved by the board by 31st March of 2018. Recommendation number 16 is to investigate the nature of SSA activities within the SABC. There was a bit of some grey areas in terms of this particular recommendation, and we had to seek some clarification from Parliament as well as to understand what it means for employees who have already left the SABC. We have reviewed the transcripts of the ad hoc committee inquiry in order to identify the specific individuals that were alleged to have been put under surveillance because they were not named. It has been established that the individuals who were alleged to have been put under surveillance were no longer with the SABC. And the Inspector General of Intelligence, because our correspondence also came from them, who had raised the query, has been informed in this regard. So we are also reporting to Parliament that the employees are no longer at the SABC. Recommendation number 17 is about performing an audit of all remedial actions, recommendations and orders that have been issued in the last 3 years to determine the SAB's compliance in this. The SIU and the Internal Forensic Unit have been tasked to deal with all matters that were raised by the Auditor General, the Public Prosecutor, ICASA, as well as the Court of Law. And these are some of the actions that have taken place. The findings of the AG are being addressed by strengthening the corporate governance and financial management framework of the corporation, and by dealing with irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure incurred between April 2012 and 31st March 2017. The SIU has been commissioned to conduct a forensic audit on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure incurred, and the SABC's internal forensic unit is conducting an audit on the irregular expenditure within that period. You'll also recall that earlier in the report, I also talked about the amount that we applied for condonation on. Recommendation number 18 had to do with evaluate financial and legal implications of unilateral changes to policies. This is ongoing. So far, it has been established that the 90/10 local content directive, as an example, has cost the television division 183 million. We are in the process of an audit now, so we qualify that it's unaudited, and that it has cost radio 29 million, also unaudited. These are the losses in advertising revenue. These figures exclude the additional cost of 72 million that for the replacement of local content and losses due to unused foreign rights that were, for lack of a better word, canned when the policy was put into place. Proceedings have commenced to exercise a lien. I'm not a lawyer, so if I say that wrong, excuse me, please, over pension payments due to Mr. Aguma and Mr. Mutsweneng, and arrangements are underway to institute urgent legal action if necessary. This is post their dismissal as well as resignation respectively, and the reason for that is that we did not want to be faced with finding out 3 or 6 months down the line that there is liability and that there is nothing we can do about it because the pension has already been cashed out. That is the only means of a substantial amount that would be able to ask a court to rule on. So that process has started. We have instructed attorneys and we are in communication with the pension fund. Recommendation number 19 was to implement the public protector's remedial action outlined in the report when governance and ethics fails. The interim board has rescinded the previous board's decision to review the public protector's report in the Southern Gauteng High Court, which we have mentioned before. Charges were preferred against Mr. Mutsweneng on a separate matter, and a date was set. The disciplinary hearing took place, and a date was set for the public protector's recommendation, which was to hold a disciplinary hearing. But in the interim, Mr. Mutsweneng performed another act of misconduct. We took him to disciplinary, and he was dismissed. So he was dismissed from employment prior to the hearing date. The management has also been tasked to conduct an analysis and to provide the board with a report on whether the payments that were recommended for recovery by the public protector from certain staff and employees were made legitimately and in accordance with the SABC's processes and procedures, and to compute those amounts. In order for us to even put the charges or the claim, we have to properly compute. So that process is taking place hand in hand with the forensic department, and once that analysis is brought to the board, we will then be able to report on that. The interim board, I've already said that we've rescinded the decision to review the public protector's report. Recommendation number 20, had to do with adhering to the highest standards of journalism, with editorial independence being of uppermost importance. We also recognize that restoring public confidence in the SABC's reporting on current affairs, entertainment and educational programs, and we're also tasked to recover revenue lost as a result of inadequate editorial policies. The actions that we have taken, we have held two sessions with the news department and stressed the importance of balanced reporting as expected of a public broadcaster, and that journalists should adhere to credibility, professional standards, and a culture which is designed to protect journalists against intimidation. The board has also declared that intimidation must be stamped out. I should also add that the two sessions that we have had with the youth department, also brought in experts, external experts, academic, in the media, some media monitoring groups, so that they can be part of that process as well. The deputy chair of the SABC, Mr. Matata Tsedu, who is himself a quite seasoned journalist, has been put in charge of this process to ensure that it has board oversight. The SABC has also embarked on a review process of its 2004 editorial policies, which I mentioned earlier in another section of the report, which were developed through a consultation process with the public at large. So by the end of this month, we should have a closure on that part of the review of editorial policies. The SABC is also required in terms of Section 6 of the Broadcasting Act number 4 of 1999 as amended to develop policies that are intended to ensure compliance with the BCCA Code of Conduct, the Advertising Standards Authority Code of Conduct, our license conditions as per ICASA and the Broadcasting Act. So we will hold public hearings in all the 9 provinces to ensure that we are compliant. And the focus obviously is where audiences and general public are afforded an opportunity to contribute to shaping the SABC's editorial policies through oral or written submissions. I've already said that the deadline is the 31st of August, at which the interim board will then start the process of screening and taking those submissions into account. This just proceeds to say that we will consolidate, we'll inform a revised editorial code and policies document, which will be released back to the public for comments before it's finalized, and then we will then submit to ICASA. I think the board is quite committed to ensuring that a compliance culture exists within the SABC, and the weight consequences management, I'm sure the executive will tell you, is a way that is now a Bible at the SABC, that any action will have consequences, and that nothing will pass our eye if things are not right. We have also demonstrated that we monitor decisions and that management deals with staff grievances. I think when the ad hoc committee came to the SABC, probably spent the whole day just listening to grievances. And you may sometimes hear that someone feels their email has not been responded to, and we just like to say that this is just the time that we have just been faced with dealing with so much within a short space of time. And with our open door policy that has said you can send the chairperson an email, you can send a board member an email, we found that we probably chewed more than we can swallow, so that 5 people are expected to deal with the grievances of over 1,000 people, and just physically and practically we are not able to. But we have gone through, and we've even established a system now with a new acting GCO that we channel grievances through her, and she deals with the acting head of HR to ensure that they are reported on. Otherwise, we're just exhausted, living at 11 every day, just trying to make sure that we are listening to everyone. And I think we realize that it's actually not realistic. Recommendation number 21 is to ensure an environment free of fear and intimidation or abuse of power. And I think our open door has shown that. And even though we say we are swamped with grievances, but we also get some feedback when matters are resolved that people are saying at last somebody is listening to us. And I think with also the new team sitting around this table, people are feeling that they can be more open. They have been received very well within the SABC, and people are feeling that at least they will be heard. Actions that have been taken on the free of fear and intimidation, abuse of power recommendation, as I said, is ongoing. We have had probably about 3 writ diffusion sessions with staff. This is where we are in the SABC auditorium, but we talk to staff all over the country, and the staff has an opportunity to then raise their grievances and to just be kept informed of what is happening. We've also visited all the SABC provincial offices. I should correct that to say we still have a visit to the Northwest outstanding. We just had to reschedule due to some diary challenges. But we visited all the SABC provinces except the Northwest. We've listened to staff issues and have reassured staff of the board's protection. And I know it does sound like very hard-headed to say protection, but it's the environment where people just felt we can't speak out because we don't have the protection. The board is also committed to ensure that intimidation is addressed and that consequence management is enforced for any conduct that is inconsistent with a free editorial environment. Recommendation number 22 was on implementing action against the acting GCO, that was Mr. Aguma. During the disciplinary hearing, Mr. Aguma resigned, so that has been completed. The Privileges Act, it is our advice that it can only be invoked by Parliament. So that means there is a certain part of that recommendation that is in Parliament's hands. Recommendation number 23, I've already talked about the former company secretary, Ms. Teresa Geldenhuys, and her conduct was also raised in the ad hoc committee report, and that she should be charged in terms of section 17.2.C of the Privileges Act. Once again, that can also be invoked, can only be invoked by Parliament. So it's above our pay grade. Recommendation number 24 was around the attorneys and company secretary that should face appropriate consequences for denying Parliament access to documents. We addressed correspondence to the Speaker of the National Assembly seeking clarity in this regard. But similar to the others, it's our understanding that Parliament has also, it is in Parliament's prerogative, but that we have read that Parliament has also started a process of instituting legal proceedings against the attorneys and Ms. Geldenhuys. So that was the last recommendation of the ad hoc committee report that is on the SABC board's agenda. But we should also, we'd just like to add maybe just a few other things, that items that seize us that are not necessarily the ad hoc committee report, but are just work that we had to do. We obviously have reported to this committee that we found very early on that we were probably not going to be able to meet our bills unless we interfere or intervene in the finances quite urgently. To this end, a task team was formed with the Department of Communications, and Mr. Banza specifically has been working with us almost full time to assist in applying for a guarantee. We understand that a decision is imminent, so within a matter of days, really, rather than weeks, we should be hearing about our application to Treasury via Department of Communications on a guarantee. In order to manage everyday payments of creditors and service providers, the board has established a payments and commissioning task team that looks at cash flow, that looks at commissioning of contracts so that we are not committing ourselves to money that we don't have, but also looks at prioritizing payments of salaries, statutory payments, and payments to service providers. I think we are pleased to say, and maybe if the committee has more questions, the executives are also here, but the board members also serve on that committee, that we feel that we have brought some stability and that we have been able to pay salaries every month. We have been juggling and paying Peter to pay Paul, I mean robbing Peter to pay Paul as far as service providers go, but we think even that playing field we are leveling out now, that we are no longer having threats of withdrawing content of doi-dois at the SABC due to non-payment of service providers. We continue consulting with staff and stakeholders regarding the status of the corporation and to build public confidence, because we realize that even in terms of advertisers, for them to have the confidence to continue advertising at the SABC, which is a major source of revenue for us, that we have to engage with them. So we have met with the groups of top advertisers in Cape Town and in Johannesburg just to assure them that we are doing our best for the SABC. We believe those have been very well received, and maybe at some stage, if you have questions, NOMSA can, the acting GCO can talk us through that and how they are starting to see that investors are, investors actually, but the advertisers who are key investors in the SABC are starting to respond positively. You may recall that we requested the withdrawal of the 2017-18 and 2019-20 corporate plans that had been submitted by management in the absence of the board. We felt that we have to own it first and foremost, but also during induction when we considered the corporate plan, we realized that the financial status of the SABC was not truly reflected in terms of the crisis it was in. There was no mention of how the internal dynamics contributed in which the SABC operates and how this will be dealt with. And for us, that really felt like we were being an ostrich, you know, hiding our head under the sand and just printing paper and saying it's a corporate plan when we are not really saying what it is about. So that was withdrawn. We have redone it, and a new corporate plan has been submitted. It was also a condition of our application for the guarantee that it is reviewed. And I have mentioned Mr. Mbanza earlier on from the DOC, but that is another example of how well we have worked with the DOC to ensure that we are aligned on a corporate plan, so that by the time we make our submission to the Portfolio Committee and to National Treasury, it is one that has buy-in from our shareholder. We have also, we talked about the committees, but you know, corporate governance goes beyond just establishing board committees. It goes into financial management to ensure that the financial framework of the SABC is sound. And we have also approved terms of reference for all the board subcommittees that ensure that, honestly, there are no loopholes that can be used to break rules. The board is also in the process of investigating the appointment of all group executives and provincial managers made during the period January 2011 and December 2016. You will be aware that often in the media you'll get a story of what's happening in Mpumalanga or in some other province where there's accusations of irregular appointments. So we decided to do a thorough sweep and just ensure that we start that, because that's key. That's who is interacting with our stakeholders every day, and we want to make sure that the credibility and the integrity of those people is not questionable. We have scheduled our board meetings till the end of the board's term, so we can assure you that the next a little over 2 months will be fully occupied at the SABC, ensuring that we don't hand over to a permanent board with too many outstanding matters. The AGM is scheduled for the 24th of August 2017, which will be getting close to our handover period as well. And we hope to hand over and make final presentations to the minister, to this committee, and to SCOPA in September at the end of our term. Thank you. That is the end of our presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks a lot. I think the report is very clear, informative. And reflecting progress made. It's now time for members to reflect on it. We'll start with Honorable Kalako, and then Honorable Swart, Dozi, Tedi, Van Dam, Tolashe. Before Tolashe, Machoba, and then Tolashe after Machoba. And then Uzaivala, who Kongwele. That's the last hand I have. And then maybe the very last hand would be Honorable Mbinda. Can you start with you, Honorable Kalak, and then go that way?
Chair, let me first commend the interim board on the progress they have so far achieved. My question, some of them will be just clarity, as you are saying in the report, I agree, it's clear. On this memorandum, I remember during the interim, during the ad hoc committee inquiry, there was this confusion around this memorandum of incorporation. Here you are citing the one by the then Minister Yunis Karim, which you are looking at. Then there was the other one, which I think the allegation then was that Minister Mutami had amended and put some other powers to herself and to then extend that the board can take a decision without being corrected. That, I'm raising that because it comes to this appointment of the secretary. I think we'll have to go back to the minutes of our committee, because the minutes of our committee and maybe check notes with the interim board, they give us a different thing on it. Because I'm certain, Chair, this change happened during all that process of manipulating things in the SAPC. Because Ms. Helen Hayes was centrally involved. And all of a sudden, when she was appearing to us throughout, even before we took a decision on inquiry as a committee, we were told that no, there's a new one. Even that one, we had it on writing. It was never spelled out to us. So I think we'll have to follow that. I think there's a concoction of some minutes. You might be getting some minutes there, which are actually are manufactured to an extent that there are something which I have my suspicions of that, Chair. That's the first one. I want us to maybe follow that. The second one, the clarity. Do you have cooperation in working cooperation with the SIU? And if so, because in your report, your internal forensic team, which does indeed investigations, have already reported and you forwarded some of those outcomes by the internal forensic unit you have addressed to SIU. Have you received any report from SIU? Because to me that is important, because sometimes processes are held and people sometimes who have done wrong are given a long leeway because of this unending, investigations of SIU. Especially now. So that's where my interest is. And then, Chair, the other point is, I agree with them, with the interim board. Some of those last issues which appeared in the ad hoc committee, those belong to us, parliamentary matters. And the speaker. So, Chair, it takes me, because we have instituted a process and committee, that all those who lied, all those who have done wrong, we must charge as Parliament. We have not put that burden to you, knowing very well. And you have done already work for us to refer those things to the speaker. Chair, there's all this, I think, Chair, we must take a decision as this committee that you go and ask the speaker where is the report of the legal opinion, which we instituted as a committee, and it went to his office, to her office. So I think as this committee, we must take that decision, because that will help us to follow up on also on these other areas you are raising. Coming to definitely, I think the interim board, you are taking a good position, right, a correct one. Go to these provinces. We can't end only there at the SABC. The damage has been done at the provincial offices, so that everything is cleaned from head office down to provincial offices. Because if we still get reports like, as you are mentioning, like the Mpumalanga incidences and issues, it means there are still areas where there are problems. So to me, Chair, I think the board have, but I want Chair to really emphasize this. As a committee, let's do our part, so that by the time the interim board is actually handing over, we have finished with the all areas and issues coming from the ad hoc committee. The new board coming in can start really to reorganize and make sure that this SABC becomes a real public broadcaster, not what was happening in the past. Thank you, Chair.
I think that proposal for us to take a decision is supported for the speaker. I don't think we have to go back to that one. Thank you, Honourable.
Chairperson, thank you for allowing me the opportunity. Firstly, may I, just from my side, commend the interim board for the hard work you've done under massive pressure. The ad hoc committee gave you a lot of work to do, and I think you've done commendably to implement as many of the recommendations as you can. I just want to raise a few issues, Chairperson. Feel free to cut me, because there's a lot, and there might be a second round of questions. I don't want to take too much time. But on the 9th of May, the SIU unit appeared before the Justice Committee, which I serve on, and I then asked them, will you assist the SABC and other SOEs? And Advocate Matiba then said he would, and he has been engaging, and he gave us in the Justice Committee an undertaking that he would seek an urgent proclamation. And I've seen your reference to your document. You've referred a lot of issues to the SIU correctly, because I recommended that it was a part of the ad hoc committee's recommendations. The challenge is, of course, and it's beyond your capacity, but this is something, Chair, that the committee might want to raise, is that the proclamation has still not been authorized by the President. So the SIU can do nothing until that proclamation has been granted. We understand from the justice side of things that the Minister expedited it, the Minister of Justice, and now it's sitting on the President's table. Chair, we as Parliament cannot allow that to continue. Whilst it isn't the prerogative of the President, it is something we need to, it's now 3 months later that we are still waiting for that proclamation, and clearly you want action as well. So it's not so much a question to you, but it obviously inhibits you winding up the recommendations, because the SIU cannot act in the meantime. That's the first issue that we might need as Parliament to look into that. Secondly, one of the recommendations related to the environment of fear and intimidation, and you did mention that you'd had discussions with staff members. Obviously, one of the glaring issues that came up was the SABC 8, and we now know that Masuna Fenta has passed away mainly as a result of stress induced by this incident and other incidents. And I think that maybe you could unpack a bit more. What are you doing to follow up on those issues, those threats? Chair, from my side, as a member that sat here, when the SABC 8 appeared, we took it very seriously. And we said we need to, and the chairman then of the ad hoc committee reported it to the police. But we see now, sadly, a journalist has passed away due to stress induced through all the intimidation that took place. Is there something more that you can do in your regard to ensure that, and to follow up with the police to see whether those investigations, those very serious threats against the lives of journalists, have been followed up? The third issue, Chair, relates to the financial situation of the SABC. It's an issue which I went into in great depth during the ad hoc committee, and I looked into the management letters, and it was of great concern that what was being portrayed to us then was not accurate, as we now know, the cash flow crisis. You've indicated that you will be seeking, and part of it was the funding model to assist the SABC that needs to be looked at, and obviously that will be going forward. But you've indicated that you will be approaching National Treasury for a guarantee. Have you got indications as to what the size of that guarantee will be and under what conditions will it be granted? I'm also very pleased that the action that you've been taking to bring back the advertisers which will assist you, and that really is very positive. But my concern is, I think you indicated that you're presently with your, an audit is ongoing at the moment, and is there not a concern that you might again have a situation where the Auditor General issues concerns about the going concern basis of the audit preparation? We understand that you might not be, that there's no issue of insolvency, assets exceed liabilities, but the preparation of the audit on a going concern basis, that to me is a possible concern, and if you'd comment on that. Chair, I'd hold over to a second round. I don't want to take up too much time, but thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honourable Duse.
Honourable Swart, I want to agree with Honourable Swart that it must be a concern that we must express from these chambers, Chairperson, that the proclamation has not been signed by the President of the Republic. I think that he's delaying the restoration of stability in the SABC, and also it affects this work that has been commissioned by Parliament. But most importantly, I think he's delaying justice, because there's evidence, there's a lot of wrong contracts, and there are people that ought to be pursued so that there can be justice in the ways in which that public broadcaster and its funds were misused by these individuals who were involved. So the SIU can move and let the country know it's because of Mr. Zuma. He's sitting on the proclamation. It's unacceptable. And maybe he's implicated, I don't know. Anybody who is not implicated would have signed it already. So why is he withholding it? Maybe his friends, again, are implicated in what the SIU is going to find. I don't know what must be the solution, except that perhaps we want to put pressure as Parliament and express ourselves that it's been 3 months, why is the President not signing an urgent proclamation? Which leads me to a couple of other things here. I'm not happy that the SABC Interim Board is hesitating to press charges. I mean, on page 8, you say the board is currently considering the institution of criminal charges against those employees who allegedly participated in criminal activities. This is taking too long. I'm not sure why you are not... clearly, Agoma must have left because he could realize that the disciplinary committee is going to expose him. Why haven't you pressed criminal charges? You see, one of the biggest, most important things that we need to shift with regards to institutions that the state is directly responsible to is that if you steal money, if you do illegal things, we will pursue you. That's the only way we are going to win the war against corruption. So the board is sitting there, hesitant. I read the news about Agoma leaving and accepting his resignation 2-3 weeks ago. Criminal charges, you don't have to wait for the whole list of all of them. Agoma, hack. And Saudi, hack. Why haven't you, at least against these two individuals, why haven't you instituted criminal charges so that accountability can I'm not happy. I think you are also adopting the same process of being slow like the President of the Republic. So maybe you will redeem yourself in a moment. And then on page 12, the process to recruit GCEO and COO is almost finalized. The copy of the contract in terms of, I'm not sure, submitted to the minister and waiting her approval prior to the completion process. When was this done? And I'm just trying to get a sense if the minister is cooperative herself, because she acts in the pleasure of the president. Was the minister, when was this done, and has the minister cooperated, including on these acting appointments? I know that in terms of the legally justified MOI, she doesn't necessarily have to second. But I want the chairperson to clarify us if the minister has been cooperating with regards to those appointments. And then, maybe this is the second from the last point, page 15. I think this was sufficiently clear. Now, I'm worried, Chairperson, that the focus is on the board and senior executives, like former CEOs, former CFOs, former COOs. But there's no, obviously here, there is a sense of we've got to go and get the people who were involved in taking wrong decisions who are still in the SABC. Because you may think that you have removed Saudi and you removed the problem, but there are the rest of the people that it's not complicity, it's not that they remain silent, but they were active in wrong contracts, like the contract with ANN7, who presided over important decisions and the implementation of those decisions for a very long time. I'm worried that there is very little being said about them. And my biggest example is the acting head of news. I think she's a big problem, Lotando. A big, big problem. By the way, if you study properly closely the commission's report and the evidence that was presented, in relation in particular to the EFF, we were marginalized from the news. We even had to march in 2014 elections. And the biggest platform from which we were mobilized was Morning Live. She's still there. You took her from Morning Live. She's now the head of the entire news. Where was the contract implemented of the business breakfast? Morning Live. The head of television news. She's still there. She's now an acting head of news. I don't want to, I trust the intelligence and the integrity of the interim board, but I'm worried that most of the effort and the conversation and the public discourse is going around Saudi legitimately, and Agoma and all those people. But individuals like that gladly participated, and they received promotions for that matter, overstepping a lot of senior people who had much better qualifications, who had been serving the SABC with flying colors. I'm very worried, Chairperson, that your time is coming to an end and you would have left the bigger problems untouched in relation to those positions. So, concretely here, is there a process to make a full position of head of the entire news? Because that notando is not helpful. I don't want to speak most recently some of her decisions over the celebrations of the SABC, her editorial decisions, are not going to achieve the point that you're making here about restoring integrity of journalism. By the way, it's not just instructions and intimidation that journalists are receiving. It's also journalists themselves that were very manipulative, that were gladly participating. So We've got to balance that scale. There are journalists that were not doing proper things in there. And I hope that the perspective would be balanced in that sense. It's not just management, but also there are journalists that were, and I think, were complicit, were participating willingly in wrong things. Now, Honorable Dalash has covered me in relation to our duty, Chair, and I'm happy with the resolution. I'm supportive. Can we institute that process of speaking to the Speaker and following up about the recommendations in relation to ourselves? Finally, this is the last one. Sorry. You know me and my mother's side. And then I wanted to check, is there anything you want to tell us about the process of appointing a permanent CEO and all those things? Are you guys safe? Are you not being intimidated? I'm asking this because I know for sure that there is a political party that believes in deployment. If the board is being intimidated by those political parties that believe in deployment, that would mean they are calling you to say, can we please get the shortlisted list? And holding you in some corner somewhere and say, but we would want a specific name, which is the problem that brought us here. I'm saying this because from other entities, that's what happened. So do you want to share? Are you guys safe? Are you being approached by political parties that believe in this policy of cater deployment? And also just generally, will that process be concluded? Just an indication, we need stability. Those are some of the most important things that are going to help us to stabilize the SABC. Because it can't be and generations, people acting all the time just because it's the SABC. They must be permanent positions so that those people are empowered to take concrete decisions and stabilize the entire entity. Thank you very much.
Just before Honorable said, thank you very much, Honorable Ndos. And I really think that when the responses come, we must get to that, not the last part, deployment, but the part that talks to other, if you like, departments in the SABC. Getting deeper there, because people who were conniving with those who are now out are still there. I think that's quite critical. There are departments there with a lot of money, a number of them including sport. Get your hands dirty there, because the SCM, is it SCM? Get your hands dirty. I think that's what we are saying. Because there are so many people in those departments who are still doing dirty work. I wanted to agree with you, Honorable Ndos, on those issues. We are mentioning again when you talk about parties dealing with deployments. The responses will tell. Honorable Sethi.
That's right, Chair. Maybe let me start by adding my voice to those who have commended the interim board for the work that has been done so far. A few issues just to check with the interim board. Page 13, we are talking about performance contracts. The report only talks about the target for senior management, and I'm interested in knowing what about the rest of the employees in the department. I see you are targeting to have the 31st of August in terms of you having to complete the contracts with he and the senior management. The second one relates to the latest verdict on Lonavish. Can we brief about that court case? I like the approach of your public hearings, especially now that you are going to provinces. But I will appreciate a situation in which this thing does not only happen when we are implementing recommendations of the ad hoc committee, so that in the long run it should really be a real public broadcaster. Can it be something that we do on a regular basis? Just to go and listen to what people are saying about their public broadcast. In all the interactions we have not been having, something that has not been coming up here again is how you relate with how the interim board relates with organized labor. That issue has not been coming up very clearly. What's your relationship with organized labor in the department? Not only in as it relates to the level of satisfaction, even around the whole range of other issues that might be happening in the organization. In one of our engagements, we needed you to share with us your strategy as it relates to the so-called unfunded mandates, because part of what you have always been complaining with regards results in you having challenges is this issue that we have been tackling with unfunded mandates in the department. This is the issue that we will continue to be confronted with. How do you find yourself attending to this particular challenge even going forward? Your 90-10 local contact issue, I know there have been a number of stakeholders who have shown dissatisfaction with regard to that particular aspect, that review, including musicians. Have you at some stage interacted with them just to try and attend to this particular, and try and make them understand the approach that you are taking as it relates to this challenging aspect? The second last one, you said to us when you came here, I think that was in the last interaction as well, that the challenges are such that you had convinced yourself as interim board members that you are also not going to be claiming your allowance until such time that the organization has stabilized financially. What is the situation as we speak? Yeah, I think that was that's the last one that I had. But overall, I think I am impressed with the work that the interim board has been doing so far. It looked like there will be very few unresolved issues by the time you hand over to the new board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Fundam.
Thanks, Chair. I'd just like to echo my colleagues about us approaching the Speaker for the report detailing people who misled Parliament. From my colleagues who serve on the Chief Whip Forum, I've heard that the Speaker has basically begun processing the report. She has sent it to people who have been implicated. I don't believe that's her role. Her role in this matter was to get the report, ATC it, and then send it to us for processing. So can a letter go from this committee saying, Stella report, it is our report to process, it's not for the Speaker to try and deal with. And then Also on the SIU proclamation, it is very concerning that the president appears to be, you know, sitting on this proclamation. We heard from Honorable Swart that the Justice Minister expedited his approval of that SIU investigation. And I think it might be worth again from Parliament or from this committee a letter to the president saying, when will you approve that SIU proclamation? And then from the board about the SIU proclamation, I mean, I'm sure you've engaged with the minister about that SIU proclamation, asking where it is. What's her response? Has she engaged with the president to say, you know, we need to say, you know, the SABC board requires this proclamation, what is happening? What is the minister telling you about what the president is doing about that proclamation? And then about what Honorable Ndlozi mentioned about what has been called Saudi Motsweleng's enforcers. There was a specific recommendation which you didn't speak to, which is about, I'm just going to find the correct wording, which was about all incidents of intimidation and victimization at the SABC to be investigated and those implicated sanctioned appropriately. You haven't spoken to whether or not there's been a thorough investigation, for example, of all the threats that the SABC 8 were receiving. We know, for example, that the signal, when there was an investigation of one of the calls, it was coming from one of the towers at the SABC. So I don't think it's, you know, it's rocket science. We know where the threats came from. They came from within the SABC. So I think there needs to be an investigation by the board of the threats against the SABC 8. And then, Chair, I also feel as Parliament the ball was dropped from our side. I've requested to you twice, for example, that the police minister be summoned to Parliament to give us feedback on that investigation against about the threats that the SABC 8 were receiving. It is really tragic that a journalist had to lose her life, and you know we haven't done our role adequately to make sure that the police investigate this matter and provide constant updates. From what I know from interacting with some of those people, there have been no feedback from SAPS about those threats. So I think it's our role as Parliament to get the police minister to come here to give us an update on the investigation of those threats, and also for the board themselves to conduct an internal investigation about who was threatening those people and make sure that criminal charges are laid against people within the SABC who were threatening the SABC 8. And then also about the enforcers, there was a report that Suna Center gave to the SABC inquiry about enforcers. And that report, it includes people such as Nolu Thando, as mentioned by Honorable Ndlozi. It includes people like Sophie Mekwena. It includes people like Sebulelo Ditlakanye. I don't know if you have that report, but I'm happy to share it with you. I believe all those people must be investigated. Any people that willingly participated in Saudi Motsweleng's reign of terror must be disciplined and criminal charges laid against them. And then the issue of, so I see we have a new acting CEO, a new acting CFO. The last time you were here, there were different actors. What happened to Mr. Raletabo, who was the acting CEO? Please take us into confidence. Where is he? Why is he not here anymore? The acting CFO, I'm pleased to see that she's no longer the acting CFO, because we know that Ms. Rapela was complicit in the signing of very dodgy contracts with James Aguma and Saudi Motsweleng. Where is she today? We know that she was brought in as acting CFO, brought in from outside the SABC to be an acting CFO, which means that if she was brought into the SABC in an acting position, she didn't have a position to fall back on. Where is she now? Is she still at the SABC? And then the issue of, also, I'd like to also request that you do a little bit more investigation about the issue of Lindi Webai. I'm also not 100% convinced that her appointment was approved as company secretary, because I remember during this SABC inquiry, which was in December 2016, she was being referred to as the acting company secretary. She wasn't permanent. There was no indication that she'd been made permanent. So I'd also like to request that you do a little bit more investigation about that. and also the issue of Prof. Maguve. Now, I was at that court case where he wanted to interdict the SABC inquiry. His lawyers were at pains to say it was there in his, they were appearing in his personal capacity. In fact, the SABC wasn't even part of that court case. They only joined at a later stage. So the SABC wasn't involved at all. He was there in his personal capacity. So there needs to be an investigation of who it was at the SABC who approved for that insurance fund to be used to pay for his legal costs, when it was very clear his lawyers said he is appearing, Ms. Prof. Maguve is appearing in his personal capacity. He is not appearing in his capacity as SABC chair. The SABC was not part of that court case. So who at that SABC approved for public money to be used to pay the cost of that court case? And then, and then the public protector's report. I'm very pleased that that report is no longer being taken on review, and you will now begin implementing its recommendations. Particularly, there's Ms. Sally Motsweni, who was implicated in that report as having been favored by Claudia Motsweneng, appointed irregularly, given salary increases irregularly. Can that please be taken up and that money be the process for appointment reviewed, and any salaries that you received irregularly also be dealt with? Yes, I think I've asked all my questions. Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much, Honorable Pandam, Honorable Machoba.
Thank you, Chair. I think let me not repeat the same questions or the same clarities. The only thing I can do is to salute the entire board by their train is loading really the public interest. Thank you so much. Chair, mine is just to know about is the interim board is aware about the Mr. Motsweneng. He will take the SABC to CCMA. I heard this morning in the radio SA that he's going there to take the SABC to CCMA. If you are aware about that, what is your provision when you become to be in CCMA? Are you going to give this man again those 11 million? Because that, what I read in page 8 in the monies that they always getting from SABC, it worries me. Maybe he's going to drain the SABC more than he drained the SABC. I'm really worried. I just want to know about that. Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Mbinda.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. Yeah, in fact, I don't have to repeat what other members have already said. Obviously, I'm also very happy with the work that has been done thus far. Mine is just, to check this 2.1 billion. I understand that you said you have applied for a condonation, the one which is related to sports and television. Maybe you have explained, but I would like at least to know at least the reason or the rationale behind that in this particular one, not the others. And then also this issue about the forensic, internal forensic unit. This work that you have referred to SIU, in your opinion, is it not the work that should be done by the internal one because of their hands-on and understanding of what has been happening? Don't you think it will be better expedited if it were to be done by them, or you consider some of the work that you have referred? I know, you see, you need to conduct your internal and external But the internal investigations and so forth, or internal hearing, it is within your competence. At least you can still influence the expedition of the process in that one. This recommendation also that you have made, the legal action to recover monies that were paid. Maybe I just want to check, are you trying to recover monies paid, or are you trying to hold those that have sanctioned the payment of those monies liable? Because if those monies were sanctioned, or those decisions were taken by the board, obviously someone from the board, but I'm not sure how you intend recovering, because if they were given by the board and it was within the competence of the board to do that, how do you intend recovering them from those that were given the monies? I'm just asking those questions to myself. Considering the institution of the criminal charges against those who participated in the meetings, can you expatiate on that? Because I am called to a meeting, and obviously there's an agenda, and there are people who are responsible in calling meetings and taking decisions. Does that mean everybody who attended? But I'm trying to understand this, because for me it is a gray area, and I also want to check what is it that you think you will achieve. I'm just thinking about ordinary participants in the meeting. I'm not concerned about the board, or if it is a board or a group executive meeting. Maybe you can expatiate so that at least I understand. And also in all these other things, including the internal and forensic unit, do you have any time frames, just to check, you see, so that at least we don't discuss this thing again and again all the time? On page 11, these individuals that you are referring to, have they been identified? Do we know these individual board members, group executive members and so forth, or officials or employees, or are we still in a process of still identifying them, those who were involved in this criminal, or who participated or were involved in the criminal activities? So, I don't want to repeat the questions that were asked. And for me, those are the few questions that I have. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mbinda. Honorable Tolash.
Sorry. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. The risk of repeating everything that has been said by other members. But I should just want to add my voice on congratulating the manner the interim board have conducted its business. I really want to say thank you very much. We are quite impressed. We have done something that we are all yearning for, but most of the time unable to do it. You have even changed the perception that is there, that we've got the most corrupt people in the entire parliament and everybody else that has been appointed to serve the people of South Africa. All that belongs to the one bag, and the bag of corruption. We have just proved yourself in a very short space of time that there are still good South Africans that are really prepared to serve our nation. Thank you very much. Chair, I also want to congratulate you for having won the cases that you had, especially against Lona Vision. I don't want to imagine what would have happened if we did not win that case. I'm including us now, said we won the case. But if we were would have lost the case, it was going to be you having lost the case. It has got nothing to do with me. It's nature. When it's good, it's all of us. But when it's bad, it's some of us, but not me. It's not me. Chair, to the DOC, the issue of people acting, I hope people that are brought to come and act are clean. There should be no doubts about their role during the situation that the SABC found itself. Because, honorable board members, if there is that, it will really make your good work to be as bad as the former board was. So to the DOC, everybody that we have brought to come and act, I'm sure you have double-checked. I'm not doubting anybody, but I'm just emphasizing to the fact that there should be no investigation about anybody who is brought to come and assist the board and part of the interim board. Because if that is the case, it will create a huge problem for the South Africans to say, you have not stopped what you are known of. So it's just, this is my appeal. I congratulate beautiful women who are being brought to come and act. I know for a fact that with them, the work is done. Because with me, the work was to be discussed. Chair, if the board can please assist me with the issue of the insurance. I accept this insurance and everything that is so good about it. But my small problem is that, why did we get into that arrangement? Maybe we did not pick up at the time we were supposed to have picked it up. But sitting here, I'm trying to think, why must you have an insurance that will cover you in case you do the wrong things? Dying, everybody will die, therefore you must have an insurance. Car accident, at some point, you might have a car accident, but committing wrong things, then you are covered. Surely, acting chair, I need to be educated on this one. My apologies if that is something that is understood by other people, but I really want to be educated on this one. Also, chair, I want to emphasize on the issue of sports division. Get your hands in that, because it's an open secret that at some point we were addressed by people who were responsible to that division. The long lecture that we were given by your staff acting chairperson, we were educated on how things are done there and how committed those members of staff were there, how sometimes the members of parliament did not understand. That's the lecture we got. But unfortunately, as the things are coming out, we get to understand that it's one of the most corrupt divisions in the SABC. So please get your hands there. Chair, on the issue of SIU, I agree with members, but I want us to get to know legally how long must it take. I'm sure where I'm seated, this is not cannot be an open-ended kind of an arrangement where someday the president shall sign. I'm sure it does not work like that. I'm sure there should be time frames. And if there are no time frames, how can the leader of government assist us in this regard? Because I don't want us to put it, to generalize about it. I want us to stick to the rules, to say, if the arrangement is say, then the president shall sign and the people shall govern. It means it's an open-ended thing. And unfortunately, we play into the perception that here we are a corrupt government. Even when people have done the good work to try to expose, we are still tardy in doing so. We don't respect time. So, Chairperson, let us be assisted here, especially from this side of the table. Because the ad hoc committee was very clear, It presented its report. It was adopted by the House. The leader of the House, and in the Speaker in this regard, must really come into the play and make sure that at least by end of August, if there is no signing, there should be an indication to say exactly when is this going to happen. Because we've chased everybody else. We can't be seen chasing some but not all. Because it will be alleged to be inconsistent. And as other honorable members just indicated the fact that the office of the president is the last office to defend and make sure that we deal with corruption or the perceived corruption. So once the issues are in the table of the president, that's the last hope. Therefore, the last hope must be the hope of the people. So that will be my take, Chairperson. Chairperson, on the issue of the employees that were surveyed, they might be somewhere, fine, but the SABC survey illegally so. So you are only still here. You have committed the crime of some illegally surveilling people. I don't want to imagine what happens if they are being surveyed. We need to clean SABC to get to know which unit within the SABC was involved in that. Because I don't, SABC has got nothing to do with the issue of the security of the country. You have got nothing to do with that. So you took a role that does not belong to you for reasons that is best known by the people who did that. But what this interim board should do is to make sure that we investigate who was involved. I don't believe that it was Motsoeneng only or Aguma only. As the members have been saying, we still have the Motsoeneng of this world within the SABC. Also, fearing the fact that that case might come back, those people can come back to say, I'm putting a case against SABC. I was surveilled, and this happened to me, because when you survey people with the institutions that you don't even know, what if something happens to them now? Will you say, no, it's not SABC because you are no longer working for us? So an ordinary person like myself, I won't accept that explanation. Because we are really sure which institutions did you use in surveilling? What else is there that is more dirtier than surveilling? The criminal charges against everybody else who was involved in everything that was wrong. I think I agree with honorable members to say interim board move this with the necessary speed. Mababoshwa abantu abenzile wrong. Ayikho enye into esoyitsho. Umuntu owenza into wrong akaboshwa. You are sending a very good message. There should be implementation as well. Umuntu ongeka boshwa, umuntu ongenzanga nto. And we agree. Umuntu ongenzanga nto should not be in trouble. But all those who are involved into this, they should be consequences. I'm happy with the issues of the finances, but also, Chair, with the issue of the appointment of acting. I hear the progress report, I'm impressed, but also there should be some speed in that, Honourable Member, especially in the lower levels, because that's where the problem is taking place. At the levels where everybody is looking at and everybody can see, it's going to be cleaner. But beyond that, I'm sure you need to put people who are going to be able to account by making sure that you appoint people on permanent basis. Chair, it's a pity that DOC, I remember in one of the portfolio committee, I appealed to the minister to say on the issue of the 90-10, if she can please talk to the nation about that matter. Because you can't deny the fact that there's a lot of distortion of issues there. And it cannot be the SABC role to explain that, because she is there on behalf of the people, and she is implementing the policies of her own party. And she must take everybody into confidence. Whether this has been the policy, whether it is, if it was the policy, was it implemented correctly? If yes, let's all celebrate. If no, what were the problems within that, and how best is she going to make sure that as a shareholder, the SAPC corrects? Because I don't want to imagine, I know where I'm seated, forever people are pointing fingers at you to say you are making artists to be hungry again. You are responsible to take back the victories of the ordinary people who carry us during difficult days. That's what people are saying about you. And your role is to implement what is in the paper insofar as the policy and the act is concerned. But in this regard, I think the minister must still take the nation into confidence. Because you cannot isolate artists from the nation and the nation building. And if you are seen to be frustrating that section of the people, it talks a lot about you and where South Africa is coming from. So I would really appeal once again to say, let the minister get into the space in assisting on the perceptions that are there, that again you are a reckless government that doesn't care about the people. And silly individuals sometimes take advantage of those perceptions that are not necessarily true. So, Chair, that will be my take, but I also want to congratulate the interim board of not claiming what is due to them. It's rare to find. We come before the meeting ends, we want form so that we can sign, get what is due to us, even before the end of the meeting. In my other life, you know, it's happy form, galopsi sign, sizo hall. If you still have such people who don't mind, even if Bauchola late, get what is due to them later, I'm really personally impressed about that conduct. Thank you so much. How I wish that can be done by every body of us. Other than that, Chairperson, I really want to thank the interim board to say thank you so much for being able to take us through under such difficult circumstances. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kongbele.
One fine South African yesterday said, Rome didn't die over a day. It got messed up over a particular period. You are messing a system which is wrong over a period. I want to say upfront, I concur with those who are commending you. But you must understand, when things are getting right, the wrong that were not visible become more visible. In other words, you spend more time in a correct process because the clarity of what is wrong in the crystal picture only emerges when there's proper execution. So all I want to say, you must continue. The only thing I'm worried about, Chair, is two things. I'm not sure how dependent on you are the time frames of SIU. And if you've got no influence whatsoever, do you have other alternative means? Because the lack of clarity about the objects of investigation under SIU is critical for continuous improvement of the systems that you put in place. I'm also worried, if I look at some of the recommendations, it appears, you will correct me, the public predator remedial actions, I'm not sure how properly related in their generality to the SIU. If you can clarify that, because I thought there's a number of those which don't need SIU. But the sense I have in answering that question, you're saying SIU, unless I miss something. Otherwise, the work you do is clear. Take the criticism with a chin. We are criticizing you because you are doing good work. I usually say the threat to success is success. If you are a good doctor in a corner, people leave away other doctors and come to you because of the good work. But if you don't prepare the capacity for the numbers, you become the enemy of the people. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Very many questions. But what I want to say, members, maybe the issue that was raised by Van Dam and police also we must raise that also to justice. Because these issues, I mean, justice, we talk about portfolio committees. There are so many things that are so related on how we must do our work, particularly on this one of the ad hoc committee. Because this issue of SIU, justice is handling it, and I think we must also have that in direction with Justice Portfolio Committee on the matters, so that we know who is delaying this thing. I will really, chairperson of the interim board, because I must be specific when I say chair of the interim board. I've been listening to members referring to chair without qualifying. You must not qualify only to me when you say chair. You see this thing of multi-choice? Maybe you just need to unpack a little bit. Because in it there is this DSTV problem with all of us. Just unpack, give us more information on it, Chair of Interim Board. I think Honorable Dollar did raise the issue of the people who were put under surveillance. It's on page 19. The last bullet point, individuals who were alleged to have been put under surveillance were no longer with the SABC, and the Inspector General of Intelligence who had raised a query regarding da-da-da. So, what happened to these people? Where are they? They left SABC. What were the issues? Where are they now? And maybe also the nature of the surveillance. I think that must be put into bear, so that we understand exactly what was. I think Honorable Dollars was raising that. I think the second thing, this one is really out of order, because the Act is very clear that the interim board must be six people. Are you five? Yes, it's 6 months. Not more than 6 months, but you are five. And we are expected to do all this work within the period of 6 months, not beyond 6 months. It's quite unfair. But the act is very specific on that one. Maybe it's something that we should have looked at. I know we are still handling the question of the Act, but really, six people who are not full-time to do, I mean, five people who are not full time to do that work within 6 months, it's quite huge a task. And I don't know if we'll meet everything that was referred to them. But I think the committee will have to assist on this one. It's just by way of saying, you are doing good work, but it's an overload, if I can put it simply. It's an overload, but you are trying. And I think we must also assist as the committee to try harder and meet the deadline. Can we leave it at that, and maybe 5 minutes comfort break? So it means you must be back at 12, and then you can have your time in responding.